Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our gospel reading in Matthew chapter 17. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, once wrote, "We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions." Bonhoeffer was particularly talking about pastors and their ministry here, and you know, every pastor knows that those words are true. In fact, I've come to the conclusion that oftentimes ministry is about the interruptions. Oh, sure, as I'm going through the agenda of my week and I'm doing the various things I need to do, preparing a Bible study, preparing a sermon, that is ministry, of course. But so often the nitty-gritty of ministry comes when I'm interrupted, when the phone rings and somebody says, "Pastor, do you have a minute to talk?" We need to allow ourselves to be interrupted. We need to allow God to sometimes shape our agenda in life and deter us from what we intended to do so that His will can be done in our lives. And that's not just true for pastors. That's true for you as well. You understand this. Let's take the example of family. You know, if you're a parent, you understand interruptions, right? How often have you, as a parent, been interrupted by the needs of your children? And you stop what you're doing to take care of that. See, that's a ministry of your vocation as a parent. Or as a family member. That critical call comes and you know you drop everything to take care of that need. The ministry of the vocation of being a family member. It happens with friends too, you know. How often have you put your agenda on pause in order to help your neighbor out for a couple minutes, to help them with a need that they have that is urgent or immediate? It even happens at work, and I understand that it's different there, because the rules are stricter, the deadlines are in concrete, and sometimes you just can't be diverted. But nonetheless, there are many times when you are interrupted and you do take a right-hand turn in order to help somebody who is in need. We need to allow ourselves to be interrupted so that we can do God's work. Our text for today helps us to think a little bit more deeply about this. It's really easy to miss. As a matter of fact, you know, I don't know how many times I've read this text and spoken about it, but I don't know I've ever really dwelt on this issue, the issue of interruption, and because it's so easy to miss. So let me take you to verse 5. It says, "He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" Did you catch it? The interruption, that is. Maybe you even missed it. Even though we pointed it out, you still missed it. Maybe a little bit of a tweak in the translation will help us. "While he was still speaking, behold, the bright cloud overshadowed them." You see, Peter is in mid-thought, maybe even in mid-sentence. He's just going about his thing, and God comes down and interrupts him and stops him. And he says, "Wait a minute, Peter, stop talking. Now it is time to listen." A couple things about this interruption that we want to note today. And one is that Peter is not doing anything particularly sinful here, right? It's not like just in the previous chapter where Jesus had talked about his suffering and his death, and Peter comes up and says, "No, Lord, that is never going to happen to you." And you remember what Jesus does? He calls him Satan. "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." All right, so that's not what's going on here. But Peter is just kind of wrapped up in the glory of the moment. And you got to admit, it's a pretty fantastic moment. You know, here are Moses and Elijah appearing along with Jesus, and Jesus is transfigured before them. That's a pretty cool thing. And, you know, any of us would get wrapped up in that. You know, and Peter just goes, yeah, this is wonderful. You know, let's hold on to this. Can we build three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah? But this is a moment where Peter's called just to be quiet, and not to do anything more, not to speak. Because Peter's kind of talking out of turn. God's the one who should be speaking, not Peter. Peter's talking when he shouldn't. So he just needs to be quiet. And that's what God does. He interrupts Peter. And he says to Peter, listen. Listen to Jesus. Sometimes we need to be interrupted as well, don't we? Sometimes, like Peter, we just get all wrapped up in the stuff that's going on around us. We get really excited and we just begin to prattle on about this, that, or the other thing, and we need to be interrupted. Sometimes we find that we have some kind of need to speak. You know, our voice needs to be heard in this circumstance. And again, maybe we don't even know exactly what we're talking about, but we feel the need to be heard. And again, we probably need to be interrupted in those moments. The ability to stop speaking is an important one as well. Maybe we could even say it the other way around, that our inability to listen is a very dangerous thing. Someone once said that, you know, if you can't listen to your brother, how in the world are you ever going to be able to listen to God? See, sometimes we do need to be interrupted. And so let's allow God to interrupt us. And you know, sometimes our talk is not just in words, but is also in actions. You know, and we just go on and on with our unchristian behaviors and habits. That needs to be interrupted for sure. Too often, we're listening to the wrong voices, and we pick up those voices and we begin to speak it ourselves. You know, those voices that would lead us away from God. Those voices that would concentrate us on power and influence. Those voices that are of the world and worldly. And when that becomes our voice, and we're just prattling on about those things, we need to be interrupted as well. Or maybe it's just that voice that's in our head that just won't go away. You know, the voice that keeps accusing us of our sinfulness, that we're no good, that we're unworthy somehow. Or perhaps that voice within us that refuses to let go of the grudge that we have against another person. Or even that prayer. The prayer that seems so good to us, but really is not according to God's will. You see, there's a lot of times when we do need to be interrupted, because we're just talking about things that, you know, maybe we don't even know what we should be saying, but we find the need to talk anyway. And so it is that God interrupts Peter. For what? Well, let me take you back to verse 5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Why is he interrupted? So that he can listen. He said, "This is my beloved Son." God the Father identifies Jesus, the one that he has sent. There's Moses and there's Elijah, great figures, of course. But this one, Jesus, he's the one. Listen to him. And what does Jesus say? Wow, there's a whole lot, right? And we go to the Gospels, and all kinds of things that Jesus says to us. In fact, we understand that all of the Scripture ultimately is the word of Christ to us. So there's a lot to which we would pay attention. And in that case, we would say, well, listen to him as opposed to other verses from, you know, outside, from the world. Listen to him. But it seems to me that in this circumstance, there's something more specific, more immediate that is being talked about. If you look at the context of the Transfiguration, you begin to see, as I mentioned earlier, that Jesus talks about his death, his suffering and his death, both before and after the Transfiguration. So let me take you back into chapter 16. And there, beginning in verse 21, Jesus says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man.' Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" So not just Jesus, the cross is not just about Jesus, but also about his disciples, that they would take up their cross as well. Okay, so that's before the Transfiguration. After the Transfiguration, he talks about the same thing. Now, the account of that, as it's recorded, is far shorter. It just says that Jesus talked about his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. But it's there as well. So, what's going on? Well, here we have Peter at the Transfiguration, and he's enthralled with this wonderful vision, the vision of glory. He says, "This is great." And in fact, it is. This is a vision of the future. This is where we're going, God is saying to Peter and James and John, to all of those disciples, to us as well. This is your vision of where we're going. The glory that Jesus is given to Jesus and will be given to you as well. As you see it in Moses and Elijah, and so will be for you as well. This is where we're going. But it's not now. And that's the big message that comes through all of this. Peter, you gotta get your head and your heart wrapped around the cross. Because you're never gonna get to the glory unless you go through the cross. The cross comes first. And not just for Jesus, but for us as well. That we would take up our cross and that we would follow him. And you see, that's what Peter needs to be interrupted about. He's so wrapped up in the glory. But what he needs to understand is we're coming down off of this mountain and we're heading to the cross. We're going through the valley. And there's pain and suffering that needs to be dealt with before we get to the glory. And you see, it's that way for us too, isn't it? We who are still living in this world, we know where we're going. That's the promise that's given to us. That's the vision that we have in Christ. You know, and we see it again at the resurrection and at the ascension and as he's being seated at the right hand of the Father. And we're going to see it again when he comes again in glory. But we're not there yet. We're still in this world, and we're taking up our crosses, and we're following after him. And so like Peter was interrupted, so too we need to be interrupted as well. What are the voices that are speaking to you? What do you get all wrapped up in? So oftentimes, isn't it about the glory of this world, success in this world? And the glory is good. That's what God has in store for us. But we also have to wrap our heads and our hearts around the cross. Where is God taking us? And that's all part of this ministry that he has given to us as well, the ministry of our vocations in life. That we would be willing to be interrupted so that we might follow in the path of God, which sometimes is going to be difficult, you know, as we bear our crosses in this world. But it's so that we might serve one another and care for one another. You know, we're coming up on Lent this coming Wednesday, which is a really good opportunity for us in one way to take these words and to put them into practice, not just to talk about them philosophically, but really to put them into practice, to allow our lives to be interrupted. And that, isn't that what Lent is a lot about? Interrupting our lives? That's what the disciplines of Lent are. You know, taking up things that we don't usually do. Fasting, giving of alms, prayer. They're meant to interrupt our lives so that we can listen to Jesus. So let me encourage you to do that very practically. To interrupt your lives, particularly your Wednesday nights. And to come here so that you can listen to Jesus. And I know it's so easy to say, well, I don't have the time, or I'm really tired. But isn't that the point of being interrupted? So that we can hear God speak to us? So that we can understand better the ways of God, that we might follow him? Yes, even when it means taking up a cross and bearing some extra things. Why do we listen to Jesus? Because he has the words of eternal life. Because he is the one that is taking us to that ultimate glory, to be with him in eternity. It's a little glimpse, you know, as we sung in the hymn. You know, it's just a little glimpse so that we know where we're going. It's the hope to sustain us through the difficult travels that we sometimes experience in this world. So I encourage you today to allow yourself to be interrupted, just like Peter was interrupted. Interrupt your life so that you may hear from God and follow in his paths. In Jesus' name, amen.